ما تعجل فرجهم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد محمد وعجل فرجه، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين، صلوا على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم، صلوا على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Once again, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity as far as our experience in delivering of lectures and majalis, we have learned that there are two topics which give you a lot of blessing when we discuss them and when we think about them. One of them is Holy Quran and the other one is Imamul Asr alayhi salatu wa salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa alim. على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. And whenever someone asks me what I should do if the field is open, if the asking person has capability, I usually recommend people to work on Quran or to work in the name of our Imam, because blessings of Allah I don't know pose in with these two great topics. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, for these three lectures you have combined both of them, the Holy Quran and the name of Imamul Asr. So inshallah a good opportunity for us to have blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as the enlightenment and as far as the change in our life for practices, and inshallah coming closer to Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. To ask Allah for this blessing and the hope that inshallah this will increase our opportunity. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraj. Normally when we talk about Holy Quran, and I mentioned a few points yesterday, we don't know how to get results from Holy Quran. And I remember repeatedly reading the Holy Quran very few times in the starting, at least we could get how to work on it, how to practice what is being said in the Holy Quran. There are many simple methods, though it is a specialized job. We have mufassirin, those who are specialist in tafsir of Holy Quran, but of course not everyone is a specialist of this field, and a large number of people are normal people working on this book to understand something. How a person whose field is not this field, an engineer, a doctor, or a person, someone else, some working in a shop, how they can get benefit from Holy Quran? I had a few experiences with people, those who are not specialists, but Alhamdulillah getting guidance from Holy Quran. So what they are doing, a few of them, someone told me that I have prepared a list from Holy Quran. Yeah, I met him in Dubai and he was a good practical person. He said, I in the morning I usually go to my office, and before starting my job I spend 15 to 20 minutes up to half an hour with Holy Quran, and if there is nothing to do then I may spend an hour with Holy Quran. And what I do, he says, I always have a paper with me. It has two columns, and the title on the columns are Do It and Don't Do It. So whenever I read Holy Quran, I try to find Do It or Don't Do It. So I differentiate or I classify the verses of the Holy Quran. So if I get an ayah which has explained something good or has commanded clearly, so I will write in the column Do It, this thing I have to do in my life. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His holy book has said something about, for example, qualities of or disqualifications of munafiqeen, or how kuffar are been doing at that time, so He will pick a quality from them or a description from them, and He will list it as don't do it. So He said, I prepared a list of what I have to do and what I don't do, I should not do according to the Holy Quran. Now, just to make it a bit more descriptive, what is Holy Quran? Actually, if we look at Holy Quran, what is Holy Quran? The Holy Quran is like a map of a building, like a map, architectural drawing of a building. This is what the architect has thought about regarding this building. You know, there's no building when architect is drawing, giving you a drawing. So first of all, you get a drawing from architect, and he says, this is what I have thought about your building, but you want this thing, I think. So, and you act upon that building, upon that map. You have consultant, you have contractor, you have structural engineer, this and that, and they then raise a building. So what you have in Holy Quran, it is the architectural drawing regarding humanity. This is what Allah wants us to be. This is what Holy Quran is. It is the architectural drawing of the architect of this universe. This is what Allah wants us and want this universe to be. So what you have to do, you have to pick the drawing. And you have to act accordingly to get to the point where the architect wants you to reach. And then you will have the complete building and you can enjoy the building. So we have a clear map to follow. Morana is here, sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil Farad. And Morana brought us the light, and we were somehow missing that light. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma sallu ala Muhammad wa Ajil Farad. I think the most useful book to learn from is the book of your life, events you are living in. This is the most useful book to learn from. So from you can get from everything. Just look at this example. We had this opportunity, but we're missing that because of any reason. And then all of a sudden someone came in and said, okay, why are you sitting in darkness? And he just switched it on, and we go, okay, we had this opportunity, why we missed that? And I think this is going to happen when Imam will come here. People will be in darkness and they don't know they have this opportunity to be enlightened. And then Imam will appear and he said, why you are sitting in darkness? You have a light to follow. And all of a sudden people say, yes, we wanted that. And we're missing that. We're not talking about that even, but we're missing that. So this is how we can learn from our life, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja. Unfortunately, I missed what I was talking about. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. What was that? What I was talking about? Not before light. Yeah, so the Holy Quran, yes, I got it. The Holy Quran is the architectural drawing of the Creator, the architect, the main architect. And if we follow that, we can get the benefit. And what we have to do, how to follow that, the procedure which was explained by that brother, he said, make it in and differentiate between what Allah wants you to do and what He don't want to see you doing. If you do that, and what he has to do, he said, I have prepared a list, do it and don't do it, and now in my life I will set a target for myself, that from that list for the next few weeks I will work on this do and this don't, and gradually my character will be up to the Holy Quran, what Holy Quran want me to do. I can achieve that. This is simple, though difficult. So if Allah in the Holy Quran has praised mu'mineen that they are sadiqeen and inviting us to be with sadiqeen. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. So you can pick first line, do it, be sadiq, be truthful. And this can lay the foundation of your character and my character. And this way our character will be Quranic. We will have a Quranic character in ourselves. And I'm sure even a few percent of that character will reflect in our life and will pave the way for further moving towards Holy Quran, moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Holy Quran says, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha. One who brings one goodness, we will reward them with 10. So if I follow just one do and one don't do, then may Allah bless me with 10 do's and 10 don't do. And holy month of Ramadan is the best opportunity to work on this idea. You are in Maha Shaban, month of Shaban, and you are a few days from, we are a few days from month of Ramadan. So before entering into month of Ramadan, which will pass away very quickly, you can prepare your plan. What is your plan for month of Ramadan? So everyone prepares his or her plan accordingly. And in some of the homes when I visit before the month of Ramadan, a night or two before that, they usually were preparing regarding what we are going to eat in Sahri and what we are going to eat in Iftar. So have you brought all the stuffs for Sahri or not? This is the usual preparation. Why? This is according to their plan. They thought that Shahrul Ramadan, month of Ramadan, is for this activity. So they planned for it. But what we should do, we know this is not the month of eating or invitations just. It is the month of spiritual development. So you will prepare a plan for your spiritual development. So what you can do, as I told you, very easy, though difficult, in a sense easy, in a sense difficult. Ask yourself, what I am going to create in myself for this month of Ramadan? What I am going to create in this month in myself? And what I am going to remove from myself in this month? And this way, you can have a practical benefit of month of Ramadan. And you can have tangible results. Normally, we go through month of Ramadan and we don't know what we achieved. 30 days gone, and we have 30 days of fasting and prayers, and then we don't know what we achieved. But if you go according to the plan, you have a tangible result to follow. After Shawwal, you can see, have I achieved my objective or not? So you can make it practical, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farj. So this is one way. Now, as an individual, when I am writing or reading Holy Quran, how I can get guidance? Because most of the time we read Holy Quran and we don't know how to follow this. Now I have classified five topics from Holy Quran, five ways of understanding and getting lessons from Holy Quran, and that may help some of us. Number one is the stories in the Holy Quran. I told you yesterday, mentioned that Quran is not the book of history. It is not this type of book. Otherwise, if you write history, you can't repeat an event twice in your book. No book of history will repeat the event twice. And no book of history can be written without giving the name of the place or the age of the event. So if you are reading a book of history regarding Roman Empire, it should mention that where was Roman Empire ruling and when it was being done. But in the Holy Quran you never see that. It mentions Ashab al-Kahf without mentioning where they were living. It mentions Ashab al-Kahf without telling us what was their age. So why the Holy Quran did that? We read about Hazrat Ibrahim moving from this place to that place where they were in the map. Some of the time I remember I used to teach somewhere to the students, and I told them, have you heard about events of Hazrat Ibrahim? They said, yes, from our childhood. So, do you know where he moves from and where he went to and where he died and where he's buried? They usually used to say that we know he came to Makkah, but we don't know where he came from and where he died. And all of them was written in Holy Quran without giving the name of the places. Hazrat Musa migrated from this place to that place and that place to that place. When he did that? Which year before, for example, Christ? We don't know. Why? Because this book is not the book of history. It is the book of guidance. It gives you stories and it wants you to get lesson from story. Now, just to name a few stories. A wonderful story in Holy Quran, and I enjoy this story somehow. It says that a troop was moving, and a leader, which was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was leading this troop. And the leader said that, oh, you are thirsty, I know you are thirsty. We are going to reach a lake, but don't drink from that. Don't drink. You can take a few drops of water, you can drink, but don't drink it full. And then Holy Quran says they reached to the water and all of them were fully taken water with full demand. And then what happened? They could not fight their enemy next day. Now, this is a story. How we can learn from this story? A very simple story. Now we can learn, and I'm trying to give it two levels of learnings. First one, we learn that a troop should follow its commander. A troop should follow its commander. The commander said, don't drink that much. The troop should have followed that. And they never followed, and as the result, they were defeated by their enemy. They could not fight their enemy. So this is very simple. And there is another lesson that though the command of the leader was not very logical, if we are thirsty and we are reaching a water, we have to drink. But he said, don't drink, except a few drops and not that much. And they disobeyed because of their natural desire. So we can learn another lesson that even if the command by the commander was not very much logical, but if he is appointed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to obey him. And otherwise you will be defeated. But they even never explained the relationship between drinking water and defeat by the enemy. It never explained. So it remains a mystery. So we have to dig more to learn from this event, and we have to dig more to solve from this mystery. Now I'm going to the second level of learning. Now, how can we see this event? This event may be a symbolic event, though the event is not a lie, na'uzu billah ta'ala. It's not fabricated. It was from history. But the Holy Quran mentioned that this event not because of this event. As I told you, it is not the book of history. So event has been mentioned, which is true. And you can get lesson from this event. Yes, this is true. But is the lesson limited into the event? No. This is symbolic. You can dig more into the event. And how you can dig more? You can say that might be the pieces of this event are symbolic. Might be they are symbolic. Now, how it can be? Yes. The commander said, when we reach water, don't drink that much. Okay. What sort of water is this? Why the commander is saying don't drink? So, a simple explanation might be that the water was poisonous and the leader said don't drink so you remain healthy, and because they drink it that much, they became ill and they could not defeat their enemy. Does it sound good? Or though acceptable, but not that much. And if you are looking more into the Holy Quran, it seems that we somehow made something, but it is not satisfying us. So go to the symbolic explanation. Now, what is the symbolic explanation? There is something in this world which has a natural desire in our existence. We have a natural desire for that thing. But commander from Allah says that though you have a natural desire to reach that, don't do this. You will be involved. You will be involved. And if you were involved, you will lose your strength in fighting your enemies. So what type of water is this? Might be lust of this world. Lust of this world. Hubbud dunya. So in the symbolic explanation, we can say that the nahr of the lake was world, and the water is hubbud dunya, love of this world, and the commander is a prophet or an imam, and asking us not to drink that much is an asking for zuhud and qanaat, have piety and have satisfaction on what you are needing, what is your need from this universe, from this world, material world. And he said, don't drink that much, drink the least you can drink and then move ahead. They said, no, we will drink full. And what is the meaning of drinking full? Indulging completely into the world and worldly affairs and hubbud dunya, and which is encompassing us, and we have lost the sight. And when we are deep into the hubbud dunya, what we are going to lose? We are going to lose our strength in fighting our enemies. And the next day, they were defeated by the enemies. So you have an event which was good, which was true. You can get a few lessons from event, which is not bad. But there are more to learn. And one of the levels of learning was to see the symbolic explanation of the event. And if you go through the symbolic explanation, you can have a deeper meaning of the simple event. Now, we could learn two levels. And the Holy Prophet said, every verse of Holy Quran has 70 levels of understanding. 70 levels of understanding. And in Arabic, 70 is not 70. It is used for a big number of anything. Plenty of something is called 70. So even if we stuck to 70 with the meaning of 70, then you can imagine in just second level we could solve the problem of life. And what if we had reached 70th level? How many problems we could have solved by this single verse and this single event, which was looking childish apparently, but it has depth. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And I can implement that event on the ghaiba of Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wa salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So our commander asking us to be ready for a great war between us and the enemies, and preparing for that war, he's asking us not to drink that much. And unaware of the consequences, we are drinking with full demand, and after that much of drinking, the leader says, now you can't fight them. You are somehow disqualified from this war. So we can say that at the time of ghaiba, Allah asking us to concentrate on our objective, not to lose our attention and concentration. And if we lose that, then there is a war, but we are not the warriors. And the difference between this war and that war of after reappearance of our Imam, that don't think the war is not there. War is there, always there. Don't think that na'uzu billah ta'ala someone is going to win against our Imam. There is no winner against our Imam. Imam will have all the words to say. Just a single question. Where will I be at that moment? Will I be one of the warriors of our Imam or not? This is the main question. So in the past, the question was, who is going to win the war? But this time, this is not the question. It was already promised that Imam is going to win the war. We have just single question to ask ourselves. Where will I be? Will I be in the list of warriors or not? So don't drink that much. Inshallah, we'll remain in the list of warriors. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. But I know this simple description of don't drink that much is not enough. What is meant by don't drink? What is meant by that much? What is that much? Maybe for a person like me, a figure will be big. And a person, another person, that figure will be very small. So what is plenty of world? What is hubbud dunya? This is not my topic, but just to say, we have to live in this world, not for this world. If we live for this world, this is hubbud dunya. And if we live in this world for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is normal. This is absolutely normal. You have to live in this world. But don't live for this world. Where can you identify that, am I living in this world or for this world? Looking at your decisions. When you have something to sacrifice on something, you can check your decisions and you can learn that either you are living in this world for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or na'uzu billahi ta'ala, someone is living for this world. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
So many traditions, many stories in Holy Quran. And just to name another story, wonderful story from Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, walking with Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, traveling with him, and he had three events, and on each event you have something to learn. Now, another piece and the point here, that sometime at the end of the story, Allah himself give you a reason why he explained that, what you have to learn. And sometime Allah explains, Allah describes the story, tells you the story, and he leaves it on you to understand. So, without giving any lesson. You know, I feel that the art of storytelling is now vanishing from our society. People are not telling story in these days. But it was common in earlier times. There were no movies, there were no, you see, games and this and that. So people used to tell stories. And it was a wonderful thing. What they used to do, they used to start with this sentence. Yeki bud, yeki nabud, ghair az khuda, hech kas nabud. There was a time when it was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this happened. So starting with Tawheed, it was wonderful starting. And at the end of every story, they used to tell moral of the story. What you have to learn. Now, this is a wonderful exercise for the children, those who are listening the story. Starting from particular event, moving towards the rule. So they will tell you in a story of the deer and a story of its, for example, horns, the beautiful horns, and a story of looking at his feet and telling, my horns are very good, but my feet are not good, skipping from the enemy, and then stuck by his horn in the bushes, and the same horn brings him into trouble, and then giving you a moral, don't be proud of anything. Vanity. And this proudness is not good. Now, moving from a particular event to the story, this is jumping from a simple example to the rule and conclusion. This is very good. A very good exercise for brains of those children. Unfortunately, we are losing it. We are losing it. So, you can do this by concentrating on the stories of the Holy Quran and learning lessons from the stories of the Holy Quran. I was talking about the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and he reached a place where he and Hazrat Khizr both were hungry, and they asked the villagers to give them some food, and they denied. They denied. Hazrat Khizr saw a wall going down and being destructive. Hazrat Khizr went there and repaired the wall. Hazrat Musa said, if you were going to repair the wall, why you had not asked for some sort of money, or you see if you could eat something? At that point he said, Haza faraqu bayni wa baynak, we are going to separate from here, but I can give you the reason. I think you have to move. So Hazrat Khizr told him, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil Fajr. Hazrat Khizr said, we are going to separate now, and the reason I can tell you that the wall had a treasure for two orphans, and the head the wall had come down, the treasure was exposed, and they could not protect their treasure, so we send you to repair the wall, so the child will be grown up and then they can protect their treasure. So why Allah did that? Why Allah sent a prophet and a wali to go and work like a mason? Why? Kana abuhuma saliha. Because their father was a pious person. He was muttaqi, salih. So was he living now? No, he was dead. Why Allah was doing this? Because his father was a good man. Can any insurance company give me such an insurance? Can any investment give me such an opportunity for my children? Kana abuhuma saliha. And one of the mufassirin said, according to a tradition, that father was not salih. The grandfather was salih. Actually. So the impact of Amal Saleh went through two generations. And it saved. What saved? Spiritual life? No, material treasure. Spiritual life was saved. Even material treasure was saved. And who did that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who acted accordingly? Prophet. A prophet came to protect them. This shows us, the simple event shows us the relationship between Amal Saleh and protection. Amal Saleh and protection. So the more you learn from Holy Quran, looking at the stories, just thinking, pondering on the stories, more you have rules of life to follow. And more you have rules, more you have strength, more you have power. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad Ali Muhammad. So one of the topics, one of the points to learn from the Holy Quran was these stories. They are wonderful stories, true stories. You can learn a lot. And in these stories, some of the stories may be symbolic. For example, the event of Hazrat Adam and being thrown from heavens going to the earth, and for example, evil deceiving him by a deception, maybe a symbolic event. But even if it is symbolic, it has lessons to learn, many, many lessons to learn. And I will recommend you, pay attention or exact words which were said there. Attention on the words. When Hazrat Adam ate that fruit of heaven, whatever that was, بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا وَاتَّفِقَ يَخْسِفَانْ عَلَيْهِمَا بِوَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. Just because I was teacher, I was teaching, so I used to give assignments. I'll give you this assignment. Think over the relationship between eating the fruit and what happened after that. What is the relationship? And if we could understand the relationship, which is explained in this ayah, might be you could solve why this Western world or this whole world is going towards this type of fashion. I'm sorry, my English is not good and I can't find somehow better vocabularies to say, so I'm using this word which is not good, but I don't know how to explain it. The type of nudity which we are seeing now. Is there any relationship? Yes. I think there is a relationship. And the relationship has been explained in this ayah of Quran. تَفِقَ يَقْصِفَانَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا تَفِقَ يَقْصِفَانَ عَلَيْهِمَا بِوَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. So you think you can get very easily. Second point is, one of them was stories. Second is symbolic examples. Sometimes Allah gives you a story, which is a true story. Sometimes a story which looks as symbolic may be a true story. But sometimes, the second point is, purely symbolic examples. And what you may call it, analogies from the Holy Quran, and I will explain one of them and how we can learn from that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. In Surah Al-Ra'd, it gives us an example. It says, when there is rain, the heavy rain, the water falls, and as the water falls, it runs on the ground, and you have a flow of water, and with this flow, a lot of dirt and leaves flowing on the earth, on the ground. And what you can see is the, what we can say, jhaako kya kehte hain, foam or cuff or puff or foam on the water. You can't see the water. The Holy Quran says, you can't see the water, you just see the puff or the foam. But then it's, what?
Surfing.
The water surfing, yes. So what you see, only the foam. And you can't see is water. And then Holy Quran says, Amazabat, the foam, it dries. And what about water? It leaves here, and then gives you a rule. Wow, wonderful. If I can't explain the beauty of Arabic language here. Amazabat fayadhabu jafa'an. The foam, it will dry up, and it never talk about water. It says, wa amma ma yanfa'un nas fayamkusu fil arz. And whatever gives benefit to humanity will remain on earth. What a way to explain. It says amazabat, and the foam or the puff, yazhabu jufa'an, it will dry up. And water, no mentioning of water. Amma ma yanfa'un nas, and what gives benefit to humanity will remain on earth. So if you want to be remembered on earth, what you have to do? Give benefit to humanity. The more you give them benefit, you will remain there. You will remain there. So this is how the Quran teaches us. A wonderful explanation, wonderful example, a symbolic example. Was that example fabricated? Na'uzubillah ta'ala, imaginary? No, it was true. When it is rain, the water serves as, he says, and the lesson you can learn. And alhamdulillah, in this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah Himself gives you the lesson too. Ma yanfa'u an-nas fayamkusu fil arz. Whatever give benefit to humanity will remain on earth. And in other examples, it leads up to you to understand the law and rule. As he talks about your charity, he said, it says that the charity we are doing, but he says that this charity is good. It is like a plant of wheat. You have a plant, it has a bunch of seeds in it, and you planted one seed, and at the end you got 700. So it leaves up to you to think about your result. It says, sadaqah is like this. You plant one seed and you get 700. So, and then it says, azafan mudha'afa, not limited to 700, many, many folds. Many, many folds. And I don't know, but when I tell you more, it has some meaning. And when Allah says, a lot, it is something big, a lot. I, in my limited imagination, I can think a lot. With a limited material, I can think a lot. But when Allah says a lot, I don't know how much this will be. So this is how He teaches us. And the example, finally, this type of example, it says that at some of the time people are moving in the dark, and they light some wood for themselves, and all of a sudden the light goes off and there is no way they could see. ذهب الله بنورهم فتركهم في ظلمات لا يبصرون صم بكم عمي فهم لا يرجعون. Examples after examples. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فضل. So we talk about two points. First one was events, stories, and there were two stories. Second one was examples, symbolic examples, and then a lesson to learn. And third one is definitions. Now, how it is? Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book gives you a terminology, and in the next phrases, in the next verses of the Holy Quran, explains the terminology. Gives you a terminology, and in the next verses, it explains what is meant by this, by explaining the attributes. Just to give an example, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it says, haven't been prepared for muttaqeen. And who are those muttaqeen? Says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالذَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Four qualities. They give charity in front of people and in the hidings. So sometimes they give charity in front of people, and sometimes they give charity all hidden. No one knows that. Just to supplement something, in one of the sayings, Mawla Amir Mumneen said, "Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad." Mawla said, "Secret charity." The charity which you have given with secrecy, no one knows that, secretly. This charity which you have given in secrecy, it will end your mistakes. You will not have any mistake. Now, I know in my life, I have no more than 5 or 6 major decisions to make. And then everything will be according to those decisions. I can assure you, in the experience which I have done, I have seen in my colleagues and myself, you don't have more than a few decisions to make in your life, and rest is just the consequences of those decisions. So at 17 and a few months, I went to Iran for Islamic studies, and had I not taken that decision, my destiny was something else. One. Then in 96 I came back to Pakistan. Had I not went to Pakistan, and as I was invited, I had came to New York, what was my destiny? Absolutely different. Absolutely different. And then, just to give it a lighter mood, I married with someone, and had I not married that one, it would have been another life. Okay? So how many decisions? If I sum up all of them, I think not more than 10. Keeping a lot which I can't count, but I can tell you, not might be not more than 5. These are real decisions. Rest are consequences. You decide which way to go to office. Is this a major decision? No. It is just consequences. So you have a few decisions to make. And if those decisions were wrong and they were mistake, what would have happened? Another life. You don't have another life to correct them. You have only this life with a few years of practical implementation. Now, how many years? In the West, it is good. You can live for 80 years. In Pakistan, it is 65, 67. And in 65, 67, last 10 years are miserable. And in starting 15 years are miserable too, in a sense. So practically you don't have more than 40 years. And this 40 years can be hell or heaven for you. And if the decisions were not good, then nothing else. So I want my decisions to be correct, because this is my life. I can't play with that. How can I make my decisions correct when I don't know the consequences? I don't have that knowledge. I don't have that control. Amir Mumnin said, give charity in secrecy. You will find your good decisions. Allah will make your decisions perfect. So this is one of the ways. So who are muttaqeen? U'iddat al-muttaqeen. The heavens are prepared for muttaqeen. And who are muttaqeen? Alladhina yunfiquna fi as-sarra'i wad-dharra. They give charity in front of people in the hiding. And then al-kadhimin al-ghayz. They control their temperament. They control their temperament. Wal-afina anil-nas. They forgive people. And wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and Allah like those who do ihsan. Four qualities of muttaqin. They do charity, open and hiding. They control their temperament. They forgive people, and they do ihsan. Without, what is ihsan? Doing something good with someone without asking anything, without being obliged to do this. If I protect my child, it is my duty, not ihsan. But if I do this for a stranger, complete stranger, might be called an ihsan. Though in fact it is not ihsan, but can be called an ihsan. So this is how you can get definitions. This is wonderful. If Allah said, hayatan tayyiba, beautiful life, look at the verses after this terminology. Might be hayatan tayyiba explained in the verses after that. And might be in the verses leading to that terminology. So this is one of the beautiful parts. I remember around 1 year I worked on the definitions in the Holy Quran. And I could dig a few definitions from Holy Quran, and I thought I could not achieve that thing without Holy Quran. It was impossible. You could not do that. So this is one of the study, one of the ways of studying the Holy Quran, to get the definitions and to get the senses. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Then fourth one is clear commands. Aqimus salat. Establish prayer. Now, what is difficult in commands, and generally in the Holy Quran, you can take it as a point, mention it as a point, that normally we translate Holy Quran according to our own language and mentality, according to our own use of that terminology or vocabulary in our life. So we say aqimus salah, establish prayer, and we say aqimus salat, it means to go and pray for Maghrib and for Isha and Fajr and Zuhur and Asr. That's it. So, what is the meaning of aqimus salah? Iqamatus salah means reciting prayer for 5 times a day, and that is iqamatus salah. It is very obvious that this is not iqamatus salat. Why Allah never said, for example, do your prayer if He wanted to say that thing. Sallu, just sallu. It is enough in Arabic if you call them sallu. If you tell your child to say salli, it means go and pray. So why Allah said aqimus salat? Never said sallu or salli. Said aqimus salat, establish prayer. What is the meaning of establishing prayer? In a very simple meaning, aqimus salat means establishing the culture of obedience in the society. So establishment of prayer is not just reciting prayer. It is to establish a culture of obedience in the society. So in my opinion, which I learned from others, iqamatus salat is not reciting prayer, it is in between two prayers where we establish salat. So when I recite Maghrib, it is not iqamatus salat. When I pray Isha, it is not iqamatus salat, maybe part of it, but what is iqamatus salat? Being obedient to Allah between Isha and Fajr, and being obedient to Allah between Fajr and Zuhr. This is iqamatus salat. So what is salat? Inna salata aqimis salata li dhikri. Establish prayer for my remembrance. So what is prayer itself? It is a reminder. And what is iqamatus salah? working according to this reminder and surrendering your life in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Iqamatul Salah. So every command of Allah should be thought over in its own context, not how we use it. So sadaqah has its own meaning. Sadaqah will have its own meaning. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى. Speak to people with beauty. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى. And good thing in Pakistan, most of the government institutions which were established after the creation of Pakistan, they utilize the verses of Holy Quran in their monograms. So Radio Pakistan picked that verse, قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى, though for 24 hours they never work on it, they never practice it. But at least the logo or the slogan is good. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى. Wonderful. And the army picked وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. I don't know what they are doing, but the choice was good. وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ أَدُوَّ اللَّهِ. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. صل على محمد وآل محمد. And finally, the fifth one is predictions. Many times, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala predicts something. In the history, it did when it says غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض, and in for our future, I think the biggest prediction which has been given is وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. You can classify different ideologies in one, those having a bad or a destructive end for this universe, and those having a good future for this universe. So I can classify our ideology as the one giving us a good glad tiding for this universe, that you will have a very good time. You will have a very good time. Though with a threat that if you don't follow that good time, you will face the consequences, but you will have good time. And Allah says, there is no way anyone could avoid that. This is going to come. نُرِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We will bless those who were oppressed. We will make them leaders. We will make them having authority on this earth. Now, just final touch. When Allah said in Surah Ar-Rum that Rome is going to conquer Iran or to get victory over Iran, does it mean that it is going to happen with miracles? No. It happened in the routine. Rome got strength and they defeated Iran, Persia at that time. And when Allah said, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, what it means? Is it going to happen with miracles? No. Mustazafin have to prepare themselves. They have to prepare. Though the dynamics of preparation are very different. In the world, when you say, you tell someone or a nation, prepare yourself, they will think something else. And the Holy Quran means something else. I tell you the final point, that terminologies have different meaning. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And when the Holy Quran says that بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and he teaches them. Is this teaching same what we were taught in Harvard and Yale? Both have teachings. Both have the same Arabic word, which is ilm. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. This is education. Ilm. We translate ilm in English as education. So the Prophet is educating people and our universities are educating. Are these educations same? No. Are the careers same? No. Are success same? No. Happiness same? No. Though all of them use same words. Terminologies are apparently same, The meanings are absolutely different. You can be happy without being happy. You can be fortunate without being named in the magazine Fortune. So fortune is different in Islam, and fortune is something else. Ilm is something else in Islam, and the same ilm is something else in somewhere else. So be very careful. Be very careful. Talabul ilm, what is talabul ilm? It is not degrees or certificate. It is real sense. Ilm in the sense of Holy Quran, which will be another chapter to work. And this was a brief of how we can understand from Holy Quran. Inshallah, tomorrow we will more work on the concept of Imamat as far as Mahdaviyat and what should be our responsibility regarding that concept. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil Farad. So, if anyone had a point or suggestion, yeah, and sometimes we decide, and the only base of our decision is a worldly benefit. And this at the same time, while we were keeping worldly benefit, we are ignoring something which has to be taken in account. For example, our success in hereafter. So this will be called living for this world. But in the same example, if you have to decide something, you are living in this world and you have decided something which will sacrifice your this life for an achievement in that life. So you are living in this world but not for this world, for the hereafter. So your decisions are important. Our claims are not important. Our spelling out what we are spelling out is not important. Our decisions are important. So whatever you are deciding, pay attention or the roots of your decisions. Why you took that decision and why you adopted or chosen that way to go. So if the basis of the decisions are hereafter, you are living in this world but not for this world. But if the basis of our decisions are benefits in this world only, sacrificing the hereafter, then we are living for this world, not for any other thing. Yes. Same collision can come between Allah and this world. A benefit from this world, but a command from Allah being compromised. So with whatever you choose, it can tell you what you are living for. Either living for Allah or living for this world. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil. Yeah, there can be two ways. Number one, as I mentioned yesterday, what is your capital in dealing with Holy Quran? Your capital is your piousness. Your capital is your act and your knowledge about Islam. So if more you have knowledge about Islam, more you can learn from Holy Quran. And this is what you are telling, that if you have learned basics of Islam, your fundamental beliefs, and then you have a terminology from Holy Quran, you can correlate between these beliefs and the terminology. This is one way. Another way, this is good, and it needs a basic knowledge of Islam as far as beliefs and the other teachings. But there is another way of working which is not for everyone, a bit specialized. What is that thing? You can work on lexicography of Holy Quran. You can work on the literal meanings of every vocabulary in the Holy Quran. So you know, you have compilations for every single word of the Holy Quran. So the most famous one, I think, the most summarized one, I think, is Raghib, Mufradat-e-Raghib. Mufradat-e-Raghib is a book written by a person who belongs to Isfahan. So the book is called Mufradat-e-Raghib Isfahani. Al-Mufradat was the name of the book and Raghib Isfahani was the writer. It has been translated into many languages. It is available and it has in in a very summarized form, it is only one volume, it explained the lexicography of Holy Quran, what it means when Holy Quran says Qaws, Kaaba Qawsayni aw Adna, what it means. And what it means when it say Yas'alunaka madha yunfiqoon qulil af, and they are asking you what we should give in charity, tell them al-af. And apparently al-af means forgiveness. So should we give forgiveness in charity? Then Raghib comes and said, no, al-af has many meanings. One of them is forgiveness, and one of them is whatever remains extra in your hand after your necessities. So this is one of the way to go, lexicography of the Holy Quran. So you have Mufradat al-Raghib, you have Qamus al-Quran, Qamus Ma'ani al-Quran. It's a wonderful book in 8 volumes, and it explains the meanings of the words of Holy Quran. But this is, I told you, a bit of you see, a specialized job to work. You can follow Tafaseer, for example. You go to Tafsir Namuna, and it explains the lexicography somehow. And then you can get, okay, what might be the right meaning for this one. There's a wonderful book in Urdu, though the writer was not good, and writer had distorted beliefs. I can't recommend that book, but it is a very good book. If you could extract what is right from wrong, then this book is good. And it was written by... I have limited myself not to spell out the name of the writer. So just Mufradat, keep it Mufradat, about Quran. And in one of the chapters, he said, what is the meaning of Al-Mudassir? Ya Ayyuhal Mudassir. What is the meaning of this Al-Mudassir? Al-Mudassir is the one who is wrapped up in a clock, I think you said. Yeah. He said, no, it's not enough. What is Mudassir in Arabic? So he goes to Arabic, the lexicography of Arabic language, and he brings proofs from the poets of that time. What was Mudassir? So there was a meaning, wonderful meaning. At that time, people used to travel on camels. And when you don't have camel, you have to take ride from someone, either by rent or just by asking for someone. So if you have a camel and you want to have another person on the back, then you have to be very careful, because camel is not a good place to sit, and that person can be a trouble for you in the whole journey. So you are very careful about choosing who will sit beside me, behind me. That person can be dangerous for you if he's a stranger. And just to make sure that that person will not fall down, you keep a cloth or a piece of cloth tightened surrounding you and that person. So he said, now we can get the meaning. Al-Mudassir, the one who is preparing for our revolution in society. Pick your companions carefully. Ya ayyuhal mudassir, qum fa'andhir. Pick your companions carefully, tie them with yourself. You are going to have a big journey. Qum. This is wonderful. But I can't recommend that book, unfortunately, because it has many, many problems, many, many problems. But the lexicography was wonderful. So, ending it here, we are close to Maghrib. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.